Sometimes longer isn't better. So if you're looking for a fantasy NFL game that doesn't last all season, try Paddy Power Fantasy. Every game week is a season in itself. Try it for free on our super short, super free contest on this Sunday's 6pm games. The top 1,500 customers in the contest win a prize with £1,000 for first place. Search Paddy Power Fantasy to pick your team. Paddy Power Fantasy. Hate waiting, love winning. Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18+.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us, and we have a very special guest in the house today. Cannot wait to catch up, making his season debut, Mr. Neil Reynolds, no less. Sky Sports NFL fame surely will not need much of an introduction to many of you. And incidentally, it is not the first time that me and Mr. Reynolds have been in the studio at the same time. More will be revealed shortly. All the Week 8 picks. We'll deep dive a bit with Neil as well and find out a little bit more about the man, because he's always asking the questions, right? We don't know enough about him. So I'm going to try and find out a little bit more about Reynolds and his love for the game. Really looking forward to catching up with him soon. Incidentally, Paddy Power Fantasy are terrific sponsors. If you're playing Daily Fantasy, you have to check out the special weekly show with me and the OG, which is dropping a day early this week. Drop it tomorrow, so get involved with that ahead of your Week 8 picks. Right, let's get this show on the road. Our Week 8 preview with Neil Reynolds. Neil, welcome to ESPN HQ.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I would have loved to have brought my kids. They are massive Disney fans. So when I was sat in reception,
you should have said
huge. Well, next time
you should have said we'll get all, because there are different floors here, of course, as well. Mm. And so what the guys are telling me is that sometimes they'll just be sitting at their desk on the ESPN floor, and a Disney character, an actor as a Disney character, would just walk past.
Oh, fantastic.
I think that happens quite regularly. Parade. Yeah, just to kind of G people
like
up a little bit.
Like a 3 o'clock parade.
essentially,
Disney
yeah.
Disney World. Brilliant.
I haven't seen any of that yet, so I'm quite disappointed with that. Good to see you, man. Now, first things first, let's settle a few, miscommunications. Let's just kick off. Straight away. A few miscommunications, or misunderstandings. So some of our listeners think this is the first time you and I have ever broadcast together, if I can use that grand word for a podcast, because, you know, obviously we've been simpatico, but for different channels, but we've worked together before many times.
Well, I fondly remember some of the playoff stuff we did on BBC Radio 5 Live,
back
2009, 2010. Yep. When Mark Sanchez and the Jets went on a run. That's how long ago that was.
That was the Johnny, wasn't Johnny Mitchell part of that crew?
I think he might have been.
But, Johnny Mitchell, Fletch, of course, was as well.
Darren Fletcher, Greg Brady. So yeah, we did the radio stuff together. We've done a couple of tailgate bits out at
We recreated the catch.
We did.
With Joe Montana.
And the late
great
Clark.
Yep.
Now, yeah, so that was quite poignant. Yep. Now, that was a really special day. I remember thinking back to that, 'cause do you remember it was really windy? Mm. The weather was miserable, and we were like, Montana wanted to do it, and they wanted to do
they
it.
They were up for it, yeah.
It was blowing a gale, and I'm like, please complete this pass. It's going to look really bad. I think one of us played Ed Too Tall Jones as well.
I think I was too tall. obviously. The great thing about
how did that work out for you?
Well, quite clearly, very well. The great thing about that was we went off after doing the live thing to do our respective broadcasts, and that was back in the Channel 4 days, so like pre-BBC. And I was pitch side for that one, and we got Montana pitch side. Mm. But because we'd worked with him a couple of hours before and had a laugh, he was warmed up, knew me, and I could go there with the John Candy question, which I wanted to ask for all kinds of reasons. Do you find that, you know, the interviews you've done over the years, and a lot of it sometimes is luck, depending on the timing of when you get a player, obviously the mood he's in, whether you might have worked with him before and he's remembered. There's so many different variables to what makes a good interview.
I've been very fortunate to have that sort of extended time with people when we do their NFL UK Live stage show tours.
Right.
If you think about it, I'm not just on stage with Kurt Warner. I'm sitting on a bus as we travel around the country. You know, I'm on a tour bus with Ryan Fitzpatrick as we.
What a great image.
And that was brilliant.
Yeah,
oh, Fitz was hilarious. So he would pass the time. We were on this bus, and it was quite a modern bus. And you could, he worked out that he could sync up his phone with the screens on the bus. So the next thing you see is he's been sitting away like this on his phone, tapping away. The next thing up on the screen pops. Myself, Dallas Clark, Mohamed Sanu, Fitz, as the Spice Girls, with our heads superimposed.
Which one were you?
I think I was Baby Spice. And then the next thing, we're the cast of Coyote Ugly. You know, that's amazing. That classic shot. And so yes, you get to have extended time with these people that it instantly warms them to you. Yeah. I didn't have anything arranged with Kurt Warner ahead of the Panthers and Bucks game, but I suddenly thought for our Sky coverage, it would be great if we just got him to talk about what's going on with Jameis Winston and who is Kyle Allen.
Mm.
So I just shot him a quick text. So can you come down from your network booth pregame? He was like, yeah, I'll be down in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Comes down and you do it. So yeah, I'm very fortunate in that aspect of those tours of really kind of,
yeah, and they're great
relationships.
You do,
people.
And you're absolutely right. You spend the time and they're great fun as well. I think, you know, obviously when you're anchoring the Sky coverage, and I find this as well, depending on the show I'm doing, right? Mm. So we can, you know, there's different styles and a different approach. Mm. And, you know, you guys obviously have a laugh in the studio, but it's different to say doing a pod, and it's different to doing a live show. And I think what comes across from your live shows, and certainly what the fans say, is just how funny they are. And you can really let loose a bit and just have a roll with it.
Yeah. Cause you do that to a degree on TV.
Yeah.
But you still have a structure and you still have to move on and you have time limits.
This is why the late night games were so much. We were so lucky to be able to do that because
you could almost put your feet up and just
do whatever, go wherever you want. And that was kind of the point of those shows as well. I know we've spoken about this over the years and, you know, I was talking to Mike and even to Colin, you know, before me on those, how lucky we were that we had this brilliant window where if we wanted to spend 3 minutes doing serious analysis, we could. Mm. If we wanted to do 3 minutes talking about our favorite character in The Wire, we could as well.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, because it's the people who are with you are dedicated to be with you, so they'll forgive you that sort of transgression.
They expect it almost,
exactly. But yeah, they are so much fun to do. I'm doing the tailgate stuff at Wembley Stadium again for the next two games.
That'd be you and Fletch doing that?
Me and Darren Fletcher, and I love, like, you know, I think you probably see this as well, don't you? When you're talking on TV, I know I'm talking to the people at home, but I just see a red light over a camera. So it's nice to actually get out and about and
different
see the fans.
Different type of style, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, you do just, you can loosen up a lot. And I certainly do that in the live events.
We are lucky, I think, as well, that I've done a fair amount of football too, but NFL, like you, has always been my number one thing and my real passion. Mm. But the fan base we have is so committed, so literate and loyal and engaged, and it's just a friendly crew, isn't it? I think we're lucky as NFL UK broadcasters to have that.
Yeah, they are. And you see that, I kind of knew that anyway. You see that with, when you're out at the live events, you know, things you read on Twitter can be very misleading compared to actually meeting people and you realize, you know, how warm they are. I think it is a real community. It's a family. Couple of times I've really seen that. Obviously adversity is when it brings people together. I saw it when Kevin Cadle died.
Yep.
It was almost like Twitter gave me a big hug.
Big time.
It was that way. And as you know, back end of last season, through this off season, my wife had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Thankfully she's all clear now.
Great.
But ridiculous amount of support from the fans.
Yeah.
It was just, and I put it out there because I thought, you know, people should know, other people should get checked out, you know, all of this stuff, and also know what I've been going through.
For sure.
And what I would be going through. And it was amazing. So emotional to see that support. And it's, we can all talk about our team and all of that, but it just shows it is genuinely, it feels like a family, our fan base.
I always said that. And, you know, on that, and, you know, the difficult time, you know, your family said, I know you would never, accept this because you know, you're far too modest, but respect for how you went through that. What the level that you work, and I think maybe fans underestimate that. We were talking pre-studio, particularly when there are London games going on. The amount of ground that you cover, and you just plowed on head down, and super professional about it. I've got massive respect for that. We're going to talk a bit of Rams in a minute, of course. Rams Bengals. We're going to pick all the games. I also want to. Don't worry, you're up against me, but you'll be fine. I am the Tennessee Titans of the picking world. But I do, before we get to that, I do want to just find out a bit more about you. Realize that, you know, over the years, obviously I've worked a lot with Carlson and Ask Mike, speaking of those old school shows, was always a big part of that. And, we'd find out a lot about Carlson because of it. And you do so much broadcasting, but like me, you're all asking the questions. You're the anchor. and maybe our fans don't know enough about you. Right. So I thought I'd fire a few questions at you. All right. So favorite player of all time?
Dan Marino.
Right.
Dan Marino. That's why I became a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching him in 83, so I was 11. And my dad used to watch all the highlights all the time. I used to complain and say, why do they just plough it up the middle for 1 yard all the time? I didn't know the game. He was trying to explain it to me.
Yeah.
And then there was highlights of the Dolphins and Raiders. And there was commentators making all the fuss about this rookie coming off the bench and he was going to be the next big thing. And it just got me interested. Obviously, 84, he went off.
Yes.
I was not allowed to stay up and watch the Super Bowl because it was a school night.
Did you go American Forces Radio on the...
No, I didn't that night. Mm. I sneaked downstairs and hid in the hallway with my ear up against the door and basically listened to the first... three quarters.
Genius.
As Montana ripped them apart and then I just skulked off to bed.
Knew it was done. Didn't get rumbled. That is great.
No, that was all right. Yeah. I knew where it was because the route to the toilet was a different way. We could kind of get around our house a different way. And so I worked out that
you sketched it
there
out.
Was no way my dad was going to come out the way I was cunning, sat against the door.
Cunning. That is smart stuff. Marino, same with me. Same with me. I'm you know, the Marx Brothers and, you know, it's amazing the things you remember as well. Like John Offerdahl always just sticks
Jim Jensen, one for me. Remember wore number 11. He was like, he wore number 11 because he was like the third string quarterback, but he was just this slow, white, wide receiver, sort of slot. Sort of like a really poor man's Julian Edelman. Like a really poor man's Julian Edelman.
Do you remember Sammy Smith? I remember this the first draft. I remember that. Sammy Smith's going to be the future of the franchise. And yeah. It wasn't the future of the franchise. Really,
still waiting for the future of the franchise.
we're not even going to go there. Okay, so that's your favorite player of all time. Which player have you interviewed, work with, or actually just personality, doesn't have to be a player, that has been that kind of wow pinch me moment. So I'll to kind of put that in context. Jim Kelly was mine. So yep. And again, we, you know, similar things when we're doing live games, you know, you have a rough idea of who's coming, but sometimes you might get this person. Sometimes they'll say in your ear, the commission is coming up and you're on your best behavior.
Right.
Kelly for me, because he was our era as kids, and I always loved him as a player, but everything he's dealt with off the field as well. So an absolute hero.
Yeah.
So Kelly, and also Mick Luckhurst.
Mick was hilarious, wasn't he? When he
those were mine too. So what about you?
So, you know, this guy kind of goes, people, he's a polarizing figure. People kind of either love him or hate him. You can't help but be energized when you meet Ray Lewis.
Right.
And you spend time with Ray Lewis. Mm. And, you know, I sat and did a 45-minute one-on-one with Ray. I worked with Ray around his last year, going into the off-season leading into his last year in the NFL. That was the first time we've kind of worked together extensively. And I'd got him over to surprise the London Warriors. And when he did that big surprise, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And we did all of the PR and media stuff around Ray working out 4 times per day. And he was like 35 years old going into year 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And still was working out still like a dog. Yeah. And when you interview him, he's just so charismatic.
Yes.
Comes alive. The room comes alive. And then I worked with him around when the Ravens played the Jags. We had him over again as the kind of alumni legend. And I did an NFL UK live with him. And I kind of got everyone to do Ray's dance.
I think I remember seeing the video for this on social,
And then Ray doesn't really do he does bits of the dance, but he doesn't kind of, it's like he doesn't give it all to you.
Yes.
He did when he went into the Hall of Fame, so fair enough. He saved it for the right moment. Exactly. but we kind of, everyone was doing the dance, and then the crowd started going, Neil, Neil, and I was like, oh no, what about that? I've created an issue for myself here.
Oh man.
And Ray was just looked at me and gave me the kind of stare and was like, you got to do my dance. So I was like, I'm not really going to argue with Ray. Then I started off on the wrong leg and it all went wrong, but I tried to style it
fair
out.
Fair play for attempting.
Yeah. So that was Ray Lewis's one. The other kind of, when you say pinch yourself moment, I had quite a good contact with Joe Montana's agent before I'd even worked with Joe around the London games. And, I just, on an off chance, I was in San Francisco doing 49ers when the 49ers were playing the Broncos. Mm. So that summer, and I said, oh, can I meet Joe in San Francisco and, do an interview, do a sit down. And it came back. Yeah. Come to his house. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to Joe Montana's house. And when you get things like that, you go completely fanboy again.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, in Joe Montana's house. And it's like a, it was, best way I can describe it, it was like an apartment. It was like an apartment building, but a really posh hotel.
Yes.
So he said it was like a, you could use, he had a pool, but he could also order room service off the concierge.
Of course,
so
Montana like, would live there. Yeah. Of course he would.
So we're walking, I'm walking around Joe Montana's house and he's like, there's my pool. Let's go into my cinema room and do like, you know, do the interview in the cinema room.
Watch
and I'm like,
Coyote Ugly.
I'm like, Joe, just put on Love Actually. Let's just kick it back. And, well, if you'd put on Star Wars or something and then we'd just sat amazing. Watching Star Wars with Joe Montana. But yeah, just.
Who would Montana's favorite Star Wars character be? Would he be Han Solo? Do you think he might? He might. I think he might be Obi-Wan because he's just such.
Yeah,
just
I don't think he's
young Obi-Wan.
He's kind of yeah, and he's kind of even keeled, isn't he?
Even keel. Yeah,
like he's not. He's got not got any. So Han Solo's a bit Brett Favre, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point. He's too reckless. Maybe Yoda.
Yeah, I mean, he'd certainly be one. He'd be up there.
That's one of Ed Trumbleton's 18 houses. You realise? Yeah,
exactly.
Just to be clear on that.
I'm sure it's not his only one.
That is super cool. On a desert island, you could take a book, a TV show, a movie, and an album, or a recording artist. You know, collection, because do albums even exist anymore?
Crikey.
Collection of songs.
You know, I don't really have much of a musical taste.
Well, you got to take something. What would you take?
Probably take the Bee Gees. Oh, I told you.
That's amazing.
What?
I love the fact you'll take the Bee Gees. Why not?
You could have a boogie to the Bee Gees,
you could
right?
boogie, but there are also some moments of reflection in the Bee Gees
yeah, it's like,
back catalogue.
You know, you can sort of, you can strut around the beach to Staying Alive.
Do the Ray Lewis dance.
Yeah. You could have, like, you know, a little sort of smoochy dance to More Than the Woman.
And you're on your own on the island, though. What are you going to do? Do like a Wilson
style castaway?
Yeah,
but I'd have made like a woman out of... I'd have, like Tom Hanks made a football.
Wilson,
I'd have made a woman out of out tree of trunks and stuff.
And a pineapple. So, okay, Bee Gees for music. What about a movie?
Probably Shawshank Redemption.
Great choice.
Yeah.
Great choice.
Good
you
film,
watch, again and again.
You can watch it all the
exactly.
time.
It's important.
If not, Star Wars.
Or original.
I'm only have one, though.
New school.
No, original.
Original, yeah.
Yeah. First one.
They had that awful middle bunch. So
the last three
would
be great.
Good.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm already planning the night before Christmas.
Yeah, so. Big time. Likewise. Yeah. What about book and TV show?
Book. TV show. I'd do The Office. British version.
No.
Watch them again and again.
Great. Exactly. Timeless.
Yeah. I love Ricky Gervais. I think he's hilarious.
Heavyweight.
So The Office.
Do you like his stand-up as well, Gervais?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
heavyweight.
Brilliant.
If only he loved NFL, we'd get him.
I'd be so good, right? I'd just come in and be a fanboy sitting in the corner again.
Yeah.
I wonder if he does love the NFL.
Let's find out. Let's find. You should know everyone that does.
Yeah.
Danny Radcliffe's a big fan, right?
Yeah, so Giants somebody. Fan.
Have you got him on anything?
No.
We've got to work on that.
There you go.
Maybe we'll tag team on that.
Yeah. A book.
You can come back to it if you want later on, if you want to think about it.
Book. Yeah, I'd have to come back to
all right,
the book.
Okay. We will try to remember. I will look over. Harry will give me a prod at the end, probably in my bruised rib, just to add insult to injury. All right, let's get into this Sunday's game and the LA Rams and the Bengals, and in particular the Rams, because I think we both feel it's going to be fairly plain sailing for the Rams, even with the vagaries of a London game and the travel and everything else. It shouldn't be a complicated day at the office for McVay and co. The question is, given the blips they've had this season and the obvious problems they've got compared to last year, can you see the Rams heading back to the Super Bowl? Can you see them winning the NFC Championship?
I think it's going to be tough. I think when you look at the NFC, just how loaded it is.
Right.
And I think already I could say New Orleans, San Francisco, Green Bay.
You're buying San Francisco.
Three. I am. I think they're built to last. Mm. It's bizarre, isn't it? We would never have thought that in the season, in the off-season. And now we'd be surprised if they're not right there or thereabouts at the end.
I think everyone was getting a little bit carried away with Garoppolo falling off a cliff. And I know he hasn't exactly been instrumental in their success, but I think that his relative stability.
Yeah. It just needs to be stable in that offense.
Exactly.
And with that running game, offensive line, they've lost both their tackles. So I think there's three heavyweights right there before you even get to the Rams.
Mm.
Minnesota as well, you'd put in that mix.
Seattle
always know how to win, just in their DNA to be competitive. The only way I would give the Rams a chance is there are too many good players on that team to completely disappear. So, and I, whether that's, you know, let's not even start with Aaron Donald, the obvious, but you've got Brandon Cooks, you've got Robert Woods. You know, I think the jury is definitely still out on Jared Goff.
Mm.
you've got...
But again, with Goff, like, same, not identical, but a similar thing to Garoppolo, we tend to collectively overreact in a short space of time.
Yeah, we do.
Is that what's happening? He had a very strong season last year.
Yeah, we do. But also, I look at, and I think we want to, because Sean McVay is such a cool guy, and such a, they're a trendy team.
Yeah.
I think we want to make excuses for the Rams a little bit. Well, there's no Todd Gurley the same as last year. You're still an NFL quarterback, Jared Goff. You still should throw for more than 78 yards against the 49ers.
But I would argue that that was appalling performance. But I would argue, look at Brady against the Bills, for example. You know, it happens to the all-time greats that they have bad days. Now, I know that there is no comparison there. I'm not making a comparison between those two. But the point being that everyone has a bad day. Goff's had a few bad performances this season. He's clearly not in the zone that he was last year. But
no, I think my problem, and this shouldn't, but it's so much is about perception as well. I can't get that image of him looking terrified ahead of the Super Bowl out of my head.
Yeah.
He looked absolutely like he was going to pee down his leg.
Yeah.
And I wonder if in big stages, you know, against Chicago late last year, against Philadelphia late last year, he didn't step up. Now, the counter to that is he was down by 13 in the Superdome.
Yeah.
And he did step up.
Yep.
And he got his team to the Super Bowl. However they got there, they got there.
The finest margins as well. And I know people will point to Belichick's misdirection right before the snap and other just fine tuning in the Super Bowl. But the finest margins in that game, really.
Yeah. But he missed a couple of big throws. Yep. He missed a wide open touchdown, and then he threw a poor one at the end that got picked off. I think this team is talented enough to be in the mix. They've added Jalen Ramsey. I like Clay Matthews. Aaron Donald, of course, for me, is the best player in the NFL.
Do you like the Ramsey deal for the Rams?
I like that. Do you know what I like? It's just a different way of doing it, isn't it? You know, their last first round draft pick was Jared Goff.
Yep.
What's that, 2016? And their next first round draft pick at the moment will be 2022.
Right.
They're doing it a different way. Yep. And it's fine to do it a different way because, you know, you're not always going to hit on the draft picks.
Sure.
People thought Marcus Mariota was going to be a hit when he came out for Tennessee. It hasn't happened. It happens all the time.
J-Bell was on the show last week saying, you know, 50-50, you know, you look at a first round pick. Yeah. If you're dealing two for Jalen Ramsey, who is an elite player, next 10 years, probably, if providing he stays fit, will be at that level.
Yeah.
Then it makes a lot of sense. Plus the cap space as well, they freed up. Yeah. Actually down $5 million on the Peters deal. So.
I mean, I don't buy that kind of argument as well. And it's a narrative. So we sort of, I ask those questions when I'm in the studio with the guys, you know, oh, well, they might only have him for a year and a half. You know, is it a gamble? There's no way he's not going to sign with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they've given him some leverage now because they have to sign him.
Yeah.
So Jalen Ramsey, the businessman, is going to take advantage of that.
Of that.
And he's going to laugh all the way to the bank.
But that's what they want. It's the same with the Cowboys and Amari Cooper, right? I know he's gone off the board a little bit this season, but that's kind of the idea there. That what I loved about that deal was Amari Cooper, if it played out, yes, you got to pay him, but you're going to pay him because it played out.
And you know that he's a proven performer. I don't mind the way they're building their team. And I think an element of that is trying to win over Los Angeles, but I don't think it's the main thing. Mm. I think the main thing is that's just how they see they're going to be aggressive. They believe in proven players, and I wouldn't argue with that. So I think they've got enough talent. You know, we haven't talked about the weaknesses. Gurley is not the same player. Gurley's not the same player.
Will he ever be? Do you think?
I don't think he will be. Mm. No, I think when you have that kind of degenerative knee thing, I think then
it's only going one way.
Yeah, it's only going one way, which is sad because I really liked him. He's a dynamic player. Yeah. He'll have his moments like he did last week against Atlanta, but it's not always going to be. He's not going to take over games and be the centerpiece. And the offensive line's not the same. Mm. I was really surprised in the offseason, but then I'm a fan of his because we worked together on NFL UK Lives a few times. I was really surprised they got rid of John Sullivan because he was the eyes and ears of Jared Goff as well, not just a good blocker. And the middle of their line is struggling. So they're not
the same
team. That's
a really good point. That's particularly important with Jared Goff, compared to many other quarterbacks where that level of communication and that safety blanket in that respect, not just in terms of the protection, but in terms of the communication, the leadership there. I get that.
That's an interesting story, isn't it? I think as well, what happened with Jared Goff. It was a great fun story to begin with. It's like, oh, Sean McVay's in Jared Goff's ear talking about all the changes right up until the helmet microphone cuts off for 15 seconds. That was a cool story about McVay. I'm not sure it shows that Jared Goff can cope with the line of scrimmage. In a way, that's a derogatory story for Jared Goff.
It definitely doesn't help his reputation. There's no doubt about that, because the implication is he's just completely being led to water. Mm. He can't think for himself. You think of the diametric opposite quarterback, Peyton Manning, who is just calling everything out and doesn't need a coach, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think it does undermine him. At the same time, I guess, you know, we talk a lot about system quarterbacks and quarterback situation, the right situation for quarterbacks. Dak Prescott just worked in Dallas. Would Dak Prescott have had the same level of success in a different franchise, and vice versa? If you put, there are certain players that can transcend that. Andrew Luck would have been great anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't at the right time, right place. So, I wonder whether too much is read into that. So on the spot then, will they make the NFC Championship game?
No.
You don't think they are?
No, I think they're going to be... I think they'll be a playoff team. I think that they're not... It's not a full-on Super Bowl hangover. They're not completely going through the floor. But some of the shine has come off the team for me. So I think I trust in McVay, and I trust in... enough. You just look at the talent they have. I think they're a playoff team. But like I say, there's three I put ahead of them straight away. New Orleans, San Francisco, and Green Bay.
And because they're in the West, they have to do it the hard way as well on the road, absolutely. Most likely. So, Neil, the NFL is changing in terms of its international reach, and that isn't just fans. Of course, it is players making their way to the NFL from all four corners of the globe. Rugby players in particular, when we look at Britain, making that transition and the International Pathway Program being instrumental in that. Mm. Do you think we'll ever see a professional footballer make it in the NFL?
I think it will be tougher because of the money that they can make. If they're a high-end Premier League player, then... You're asking somebody to gamble quite a lot of money to make a lot of money potentially in the NFL, but it would be a gamble. So I think it could happen with the first two players that come to mind for me is I think Harry Kane.
He's a massive NFL fan.
Yeah. So, and I think that would be a factor because I think he thinks he could do it as a kicker. And I think
would want to do it, would be driven to do it because he loves it, would be
willing to kind of take that gamble. But again, if he was doing it right at the end of his career, then it's going to be harder for him to do that. But
that's a really good point, right? So if you take, and I don't want to make an easy analogy here, but say a player that has been at the top level, Premier League or La Liga, gets to his early 30s and decides, okay, I'm going to cash in mid-30s, cash in MLS or China, for example. The leagues out there where you can still make a decent money, but the level isn't at quite the same as the one you're used to. Rooney going to Washington, Ibra, for example, both going to MLS, latterly Gerard Lampard. Do you think that that is most realistic, that a player is, if a player is going to do it, it's going to be a top player that then moves in their early 30s? And is that even feasible to do that, to make it as a kicker or a punter in the NFL at that age?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's when it would happen. I think, you know, that's a massive gamble otherwise. If Harry Kane now, what, 27 or 28, you know...
Unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So,
but I guess my question is, can a
you
player
can make
transition
it, yes.
at that
so,
age?
So, yeah, you can. I mean, look, you can have kicking... A kicker could be kicking reliably up until he's 40 years old.
Right.
So it can happen. I think... We know Harry Kane is a great striker of a dead ball, so that could translate for me, I think.
Is it two main positions we're talking about, kicker and punter? And mainly kicker, right?
Yeah, mainly. I think mainly kicker. The other one I can't get out of my head, I could see Raheem Sterling. Just from that kind of low centre of gravity, that turn of pace.
A scat back style.
Running back or a kick return. It would be very, very hard to do. The transferable skills more come from rugby. That's why we've seen Christian Wade, Christian Scotland-Williamson, Alex Gray all come from professional rugby. Mm. And maybe it was easier for them to do it. Maybe the money wasn't as great as well, so it was easier to make that transition. But, you know, you see how Sterling kind of moves about. He sometimes, to me, looks like an NFL player.
Yeah. Keepers so as well, I guess, in terms of your dead ball striking, just kind of power. Mm. I mean, Asmir Begovic is regular on this show.
Yeah.
Massive NFL,
big NFL fan as well.
Always fancied his chances, I think, there and looks at a kicker or punter. Yeah. Mm. So I guess punter and keeper, there might be just in terms of leg strength, of course, as well.
It's such a hard skill, though.
Well, let's talk about that. And we talk about the migration of talent. You mentioned rugby players that have gone through. Assuming they haven't played any football over here at 20 level, which is probably the case if they're professional rugby players or footballers, they then have to go through a fast track boot camp style. And what is it, 12 weeks in Florida?
Except for the international player pathway, and then trying to get yourself worked out for teams, get yourself either drafted or probably more likely signed to as a free agent And it is a different skill, you know. Kicking an American football is off a 2.5 yard run up, 2.5 step run up.
Yep.
And that you're 7 yards behind 6'8" men who can jump and stretch high. And so you've got to get that football above them. So you're probably kicking that football within 7 or 8 yards. You're kicking it 12 feet in the air.
Yep.
But then it's got to travel got the 50 or 60 yep. yards as well on a field goal. So,
because 40 yards routine, 50 solid,
yeah.
anything over that, a challenge, but you're still really expected most of the time in good conditions to get it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're, 60 is the kind of top end benchmark. So on that note, because you see that a lot as well with critics saying, well, you know, say fans who watch rugby but don't watch the NFL, well, it's easy in NFL because it's always right in front of the post, but it's for the reasons you've just outlined.
They're rushing right at you as well. And it's a it's a harder ball. It's a smaller ball. It's got a much smaller sweet spot. I used to kick when I played in the British League. I was a tight end, but I kicked as well. And it is a smaller sweet spot. It's not like kicking a rugby ball. I remember going to one of the American Bowls, the old preseason friendly games at Wembley Stadium. Sure. And the Los Angeles Rams had signed Paul Thorburn, who was an old Wales rugby guy who used to be able to kick penalties from the halfway line.
Right.
He kicked off to start the second half and the ball landed on the 20.
Wow.
You know, and it's just a different skill.
Technique. Yeah, it is.
Whereas there are some other transferable skills, like Christian Wade with his movement and his ball skills and his ability to make people miss.
Yeah.
We saw that in the preseason. His skills from rugby translate directly to the NFL, and I think actually he'll make it next year.
You think he'll get a gig next year? So next 10 years, let's say 10 years, are we going to see a professional footballer make it, get an NFL contract?
I don't think we will. I don't think it's worth the gamble for someone. If it is going to happen, it'll be back end of their career, 2 or 3 year thing. And then you got to ask, is it worth it to the NFL team?
Sure.
So I think there's a lot that goes against it. I think we'll see a lot more rugby players. I think we'll see a lot more people from athletics.
Track and field,
Yeah, we'll see a lot more people from other sports. We will see a lot of crossover athletes from the UK and around the world making it into the NFL. I just don't see it being a football player.
Let's get into our picks there, man. Disappointing we're not going to have an Anchorman star moment this Sunday.
I know, yeah. We're doing the game on Sky Sports, but we're somewhat strangely, I hope my boss isn't listening.
Guaranteed to be listening, I'm sure. They're all big fans.
We are going to be in our studio in London.
At HQ, yeah. Because for listeners to kind of explain it, when we've done games in the past from Wembley, when we've both been on Channel 4, or latterly the BBC, of course, and you guys at Sky, their studios are next to each other with a kind of room in between.
Yeah.
So it is quite Anchorman.
Yeah, it's literally one. You come into that kind of makeup area and the storage area, and then you go one side, I go the other. And what people won't realize is, like, so when they bring the food up, you guys eat first, and then what you leave, you bring to us.
So let me get
is that not true?
What OC and Jay Bell get through, then me and Carson get what's left.
And then we're allowed to, they say BBC eats first. So it's like that. BBC eats first.
That does not happen. Don't listen to him, listeners. I do quite like the idea if we were squaring off at the moment with those respective crews. Obviously, you know, stretch it a bit because I know he's not around at the moment because of CFL commitments. But Carlson and Ryan Bowl would square off. You and I would have to go head to head.
Yeah.
You'd win that, I think, comprehensively.
I feel like we would be like like the goalies in a hockey fight. So everyone, like Takeo, Spikes, and Osi would be going at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will and Jay Bell.
Yeah. Carlson and Ryan Bowl.
Which would be an absolute picture.
I would pay money to see.
And me and you would be kind of like the goalies, be like, go on then.
Maybe just throw insults
kind of
at each other.
Yeah, just like, be like, don't hit it in the face. You remember those fights, where you don't hit the face.
Not the face. Bill Simmons always used to go on about, I remember him talking about something, you know, rollout on the field in baseball, and the Yankees, Red Sox were going at it or something. And there were always a couple of the Yankees players who'd just be jumping around the sidelines, just shouting a lot, but not actually getting involved at all. That would be me and you.
Yeah. I tell you what, just on the point of like the BBC and Sky though, because some people always go, you know, you've got it. It's on the BBC. You won't like that, or you don't like you watching this. Or yes, honestly, I think when we all get together, there's none of that with the people that get together because we're all kind of part of doing the same thing. And
exactly.
To me, bring them all in on the BBC.
Yeah,
Yeah, and I love the highlight show. What Jason and Osi are just box office. Oh, they are just box office.
So much fun.
And you know, well, then where are they going to go? They're going to want to come and watch on Sky. So yeah. It's all kind of part of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing how people sometimes view it as a rivalry.
It's rivalry. I know. It's really inevitable, isn't there. But it's not there. Exactly. Hopefully this pods like this will demonstrate.
Exactly.
That. All right then. So I guess we're both picking the Rams on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. There's
no rivalry, but I'm going to absolutely
beat
you with these picks. Well, yeah.
Harry, make sure we're writing these down because I will check.
Yeah, definitely the Rams. Bengals are in a world of hurt. What's your storyline? I'm not trying to get behind the scenes. Mm. I mean, basically for Sky, we're going Zach Taylor rebuild. That's it.
We are,
because it's Zach Taylor rebuild. There's nothing, not that much positivity to
I mean, I suppose.
And it's hard to, you don't want to really downer a
this
team.
This is the trouble. And you know, can't sort of sell it at the top of the show. This is going to be a blowout. They've got a fighting chance. London games have surprised us. Mm. You know, teams have come here with not the season. Look at the Jags teams in the years gone by that have found a way to win. Yeah. And how important it's going to be to get a win and get their season.
I think that's the other angle I've got with the Bengals is, look, they almost won in Seattle.
Yeah.
They were close in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They're a bit like a kind of unfit boxer who's got a chance early on, but if you get them in the later rounds, they're going to fade badly.
They need a second or third round knockout.
They do.
Are they the Buster Douglas?
Exactly. Not a lot of positivity around the Bengals, so I'm going Rams.
I'm going Rams as well. What about Chargers Bears? The Chargers having a very odd, disappointing season. I mean, last week, and that's the most Chargers series of plays I've ever seen.
Could you imagine being a Chargers fan? Well, first of all, there aren't many now in LA.
There aren't many now.
But
heartbreaking. I know a few.
They
actually
snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I feel like I've watched Philip Rivers, and he was on the field for this one. But so many times we've seen him on the sidelines as they have a field goal blocked.
Yes.
Or there's some there's always a late meltdown with this team. And
there are two or three seminal shots from the last sort of 10 years or so. Jerry Jones in his box.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers just shaking his head.
And the one where, remember once when he was mouthy, he went, "We're the Bad News Bears," when they found another way to lose. And you're right. That was the most Chargers series. They are a massive, massive disappointment. But I don't know if they're as disappointing as the Chicago Bears offense.
Well, right. I mean, what do they do? We speculated on this earlier in the week. The question that seems to persist really around the Bears, you know, with Trubisky. And, you know, again, we talked earlier on the show about overreacting to certain things. Chase Daniel wasn't good when he played in London.
No. But he's been a backup for 12 years
for
a reason.
But isn't he right now a safer bet? If we go back to your point about, you know, Garoppolo, and there are others, Kyle Allen, I argue, in Carolina, isn't he the safer bet right now?
He is, and the season's not lost in Chicago.
Right.
So you need a change. You know, don't be fooled by 250 yards of offense by the end of that game against the Saints.
Mm.
It was 36-10 with 2 minutes left.
Mm.
I mentioned it on Sky on Sunday night, halfway through the fourth quarter. They had like 83 yards of offense.
Yeah.
This is Matt Nagy's specialty. I went out to Chicago's training camp in the summer, and obviously you're drawn to the defense. But then I'm looking at the offense, I'm like, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Cordarrelle Patterson, Trubisky supposedly going to be developed even further.
Breakthrough,
Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no excuses. So this
to be this anemic.
These are two really, really disappointing teams so far this year. I just trust the Chargers and Philip. Cracky, how do I trust the Chargers when they find ways to lose?
Trust to blow it, I thought you were going to say.
No, I'm going to pick the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. That is a shot. I'm taking the Bears at home. Yeah, no problem. Okay, that surprised me. This is an interesting one, I think. Browns Patriots, because, you know, the conventional wisdom is the Patriots will do what they've done to most teams this season and blow them out of the water. But we know, to follow the boxing analogy through, that this Browns side is capable of a sucker punch.
Mm.
For example, I was talking to Ollie Giel, OG, our fantasy specialist, on this week's fantasy show, and I said avoid Odell Beckham is my avoid pick, but predicated on the fact that he could absolutely blow up and it wouldn't
because
surprise
me. Because he could always do that.
Yeah. It could be a 200-yard game. So, look, vintage performance once again from the Patriots. Mm. The defense is driving them. They've re-upped offensively as well. So I can't see anything other than a Patriots win. But if the Browns lose this, drop to 2-5, that is basically their season done. So they've got their season on the line in this game.
Yeah, it's a backs to the wall game for them. And I wonder what they've looked at in their bye week, whether they've made that decision to go back to Nick Chubb a bit more, quicker passes from Baker Mayfield.
But I feel that's like a big problem for him, isn't it? Because I think they want it, but Mayfield's just hanging on for
far too long.
I know,
but I wonder also if there's a little bit of, we need to stretch the field to Odell.
Yes.
Because we signed him big.
Yep.
And he might go into the tank if we don't feed him the football.
Such a good point.
It could be, you know, the ego of Odell needs to be fed. It's changed this offense.
Even if it's not him necessarily stirring things up, the
it
fact
could be us. It could be us in the media doing it. Odell had one catch. Yep. You go and ask him about
pressure's
it.
Mounting.
You get him in a bad mood. I think if the Browns change the way they play and go back to a little bit more of the quick passing game, Nick Chubb, then they have a puncher's chance. But this defense, I know we can say the whole, they haven't played anyone, but they're playing NFL teams. Mm. They're still in the NFL. And they've got 18 interceptions in 7 games. It's off the charts good what Belichick is doing. He feasts on young quarterbacks.
Mm.
I think he's going to feast on Baker. I'll go Patriots.
Josh Gordon, incidentally, a story breaking in the last 24 hours that looks like he's done for the season. Right?
Yeah, but not, and also, looks like as soon as he thinks he's not far off from playing again, and as soon as he's healthy, they're going to waive him.
Yeah.
So,
which is odd because Sanu is not Josh Gordon, right? They're different types of players.
No, I like Sanu as an addition, but they're very different types of players. Yeah. Sanu's a very versatile. Sanu's everything that the Patriots love. He's intelligent, versatile, and he's tough. That's what Belichick looks for in all players, regardless of position.
Absolutely spot on there. All right, so we're both going Patriots there. Mm-hmm. Raiders-Texans, an interesting matchup. But the Texans, of course, disappointingly losing to the Colts last week, who, sneaky good, the Colts, and we expect them to be in the playoff. I think we expect the Texans to as well. Will Fuller getting injured in that game, which I think affected the result, but also won't factor, you would think, this week against the Raiders. Conversely, for them, Tyrell Williams, an injury doubt, so keep an eye on both of those. Coach Gruden this week hyping up Darren Waller yet again. What a story he has been after the troubles he's had off the field.
Yeah, great story. Him and Josh Jacobs are your kind of foundational things to build around for years to come, I think. I like where the Raiders are going.
Me too.
I feel like they... You know, either side of halftime, that game just got away from him. Derek Carr's fumble. He can't do that. I mean, you can't do that. Take care of the football. It was only going to be third down coming up. You're right there knocking on door. And it changed that game. You know, there's 7 points off the board for the Raiders. Mm. The Packers score. There's another 7. And then they score straight after halftime. There's another 7.
And then it was game over.
It was close.
Good point.
So I think these Raiders are going to be, it's all a process for them. It's all about progression. And I'm seeing progression from them. Mm. I think Gruden's coaching really well. Mm. And they're creating opportunities offensively. I like Jacobs. I don't think they win this game, though. I'm going to pick Houston. Houston are another one of those. I was just about ready to jump properly on the bandwagon. And I was thinking they'd had back-to-back games where Deshaun wasn't sacked. Almost
crucial.
Perfect passer rating.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, if they can keep that going, they could take down a Patriots in the playoffs. Them and Baltimore, Kansas City, they're the ones that could on their day take them down.
Colts as well, I would have in the mix.
Yeah, because physical. Yep. They're physical, both sides of the ball, both lines. But we just can't find this consistency with Houston. It's whether it's an injury here or a disappointing result there.
Yeah.
Then they'll come back with 2 more wins and make you go, oh, actually, Houston are really dangerous. Then they'll drop another one. And I just think that's where they're at the moment.
Totally.
I think playoff team, but not
there yet.
Yeah.
I think Fuller is instrumental for them as well because of the impact his presence or otherwise has on Hopkins as well.
Yeah.
So, and who is so, I know he hasn't had the level of season he had last year, but he is so good, so reliable, so dynamic.
And Deshaun Watson for me is box office.
Big time. I can't wait to see him the week after, because heading to London as well. All right. Yeah. So we are picking the Texans.
Both picking Texans. Yeah.
Okay. Packers Chiefs, different game, disappointingly, because no Mahomes. So Matt Moore will start for Kansas City, who still 5-2, destroyed the Broncos last week, irrespective of the Mahomes injury. Sammy Watkins could still be out as well. His hammy, keep an eye on that one. So, obviously, as a result...
You could have said that in any year in the past 5 years. Sammy Watkins,
I recorded that line 3 years ago, and Harry just dropped it in. Sammy Watkins beat. Could be out there, Harry. So, even though it's at Arrowhead, I'm not going to load the question. It's at Arrowhead, no Mahomes. Do the Chiefs have a chance?
I think they do. I think in terms of backup quarterbacks, Matt Moore is one of the best options out there. 30 starts to his name already in the NFL. Looked okay coming off the bench last week. I was really surprised yesterday, coming out of the studios, doing recording at Sky, that Mahomes practiced on Wednesday.
Yes, I read that, yeah.
He can't play, surely.
They'd be crazy to rush
I think they'd be crazy because, okay, you don't want to drop a game now. You've dropped two already, but, you know, once you get to the playoffs, it's one and done, and you need him. You don't want a RG3 situation from a few years back with Seattle.
That's a great analogy, or comparison, I should say. Yeah. And also, look at the West, and we've talked to Raiders already.
They maybe already could concede home field advantage is gone because the Patriots are two games ahead of them.
Yes.
I don't think you rush him back, but I do think they have a chance in this game because of their weapons that they have around him. But Matt Moore's not beating Aaron Rodgers. Well, that'd be three at home they've lost.
Let's talk about that Rodgers offense. Mm. Clicking, and it's something we've spoken about a lot on the pod. I know you have on your show that defensively the Packers have been surprisingly good this season. Offensively, fits and starts, and it all really coming together last week. And doing it without Davante Adams as well, which is interesting. Mm. Do you think that it's only going to continue to gel and be cohesive in this LaFleur Rodgers tag team? Mm. And we mentioned Manning and his ability as a quarterback in terms of his intelligence and his experience. Rodgers, obviously, outside of his athletic prowess, has that as well. Mm. It's a really, really exciting partnership that is already midway through the season starting to get into the slipstream.
I think it's starting to grow even more. We're always going to look out for the little bits on the sideline where Rodgers kind of blows up and then pats LaFleur on the back like he's a good little boy and stuff. But no, they're getting on track. Been very creative with sort of play action passes.
Yep.
Love the way they're using their running backs. Yeah. Mismatch City last week against the Raiders, getting their running backs out on patterns. You know, and it's just, I think they rely on Rodgers to get the job done. Mm. You know, if one more of those receivers goes down, you're in next week and I'm in the week after. That's how thin they are.
Harry's
the week after that. Okay. You know, they are just doing it with.
Yeah.
It sounds disrespectful because it's the NFL and it's a ridiculously high level to get to. But by NFL standards, they are just guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just working with guys. And Rodgers' ball placement, there was the touchdown where he kind of, it was the short one where he throws it low into the end zone. He's sort of half rolling to his left last week.
Yeah.
And he throws it down and away because it's almost on the receiver's shins.
Yes.
But it's because getting it away from the defensive back.
There's
and it's
no
just
risk.
A tiny little thing with Rodgers. I think they're going to grow and grow. You know, and again, they've now got that backbone on defense. Mm. They're a Super Bowl contender for me. So, yeah, I'm going Packers.
I'm taking the Packers as well. Panthers 49ers. The Panthers coming off a bye, of course, last week. Mm. The 49ers we've spoken about earlier on in the show. You said that they're the real deal. It's in San Francisco. Do you see the Kyle Allen freight train rolling on? Or is this going to be a continuation of the 49ers' unbeaten start to the season?
I'm favouring the 49ers, and I think their priority is going to be, I think they've got such a strong front. They're much improved on the back end as well from last year, but their front seven with the, we know all about the defensive line investment, Dee Ford, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner was already there. I mean, feels like they've been drafting defensive linemen for the last 4 or 5 years in the first round.
Yeah.
And they bring Quan Alexander in, Fred Warner. So the front seven is really, really good. This is your classic take Christian McCaffrey away game.
Right.
There's going to be Christian McCaffrey posters up all around that building in San Francisco this week. Because it's a kind of copycat league as well. The Bucks twice this year have taken away Christian McCaffrey,
the
runner.
Done that, right?
Kyle Allen was able to benefit at Tottenham because Jameis Winston kept giving him the football.
Yes.
So I think this is a different game. And I think that's the way 49ers win. They try and take away Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
Put it on Kyle Allen. And, you know, I'm really impressed with him. Mm. I would actually argue that he should stay in the job.
Do you think if he keeps winning, he will?
Yeah. Why would
it's very
you
hard
him
to bench a starter that's winning.
Yeah. And I think Ron Rivera's trying to push that down the road, you know, that story. But now he's starting to, first of all, it's Cam's job. Mm. And now it's like, well, we'll deal with it when he comes back. So it's kind of being pushed. The narrative's already changing.
Yeah.
You know,
what about this Panthers D, Neil? So leading the league in sacks. A lot of takeaways as well. A lot of, I think, top three from memory in terms of interceptions as well. So playmaking defense.
Yeah, right? Both these defenses get after the quarterback, and they don't necessarily blitz that much. You know, it's a rotation of defensive linemen. I like the way that the Mario Addison is still getting in the backfield, and there's a real rotation. Gerald McCoy had a big game in London, so yeah, this defense is for real as well. I would expect this to be a knockdown, drag them out classic. You know, this is
going 49ers, aren't you?
I'm going 49ers, and this is our second game on Sky on Sunday. And it starts at 9:05 or 8:05 because they're earlier games.
Of course, don't forget, that's a very good point.
So it's hard to get from that first game to an 8:05 kickoff. I'm going to be lobbying. No offense to the Rams and Bengals, but
when it's 44-3, you might.
I think we're going to make the kickoff in San Francisco and just update from Wembley.
When I'm getting the cab and stuck in 4 hours of traffic from Wembley, I'll be watching
you
on my tablet.
There you go.
To make sure. So I'll vote for it as well via Twitter. All right, I'm going Panthers for the road upset.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I like Carolina.
I mean, again, it's not ridiculous because these are two quality teams. Well coached.
Big time. Yeah, okay, we're going to rattle through the rest. I'm getting the sign from Harry.
That's a bad sign, wasn't it?
That's why he picked up the knife. Okay, so Seahawks, Falcons, got it.
Seahawks, here, right? It's absolutely disaster zone in Atlanta, and I do think Dan Quinn is on a hot seat.
It's got to be Seahawks as well for me. Eagles, Bills?
I'm going to say Philadelphia on the road.
Philly on the road.
Buffalo's their defense is for real. I did not like their performance against Miami last week.
They got out of jail. Onside kick return.
And a couple of big defensive plays helped them out. I'm going to go Eagles to right the ship after a couple of bad weeks.
Are the Bills overrated?
I think their record's a little bit deceiving. I'm not fully trusting Josh Allen yet.
Are they making the playoffs?
They probably are in the AFC.
Okay. Jets, Jags. So the Jags are a pivotal stage of the proceedings for them. If they win this, they go to 500 and there's game on.
Yep. I think I'm going to go with the Jags. I trust them more. Leonard Fournette is a big part of their game at the moment.
But I'd say, you know, referring to Sammy Watkins, Your Honor. That's the problem, right, Fournette?
Yeah, just getting him healthy. But he's already got he's over 900 yards from scrimmage and in seven games this year. And the other guy's seeing ghosts. So.
Yeah, apparently. We still have no idea what
it's
that
nearly
was
Halloween. So.
Three picks the Jags defense, I guess, against the Bengals last week. But, you know, Jalen Hu.
In regular NFL money? three against the Bengals is one in regular NFL money.
1.3.
So once you do the exchange rate.
You'll be taking the Jags here at home?
I'm going Jags,
Okay, we're taking me too. Sorry, Haz, I'm thinking, what other games? Here we go. Cardinals. Head to New Orleans. The Cardinals above 500 now, of course. And Chase Edmonds, a superstar, breaking out in the last week. So things looking up for Arizona.
It's not all Kyler Murray.
Yeah, they are.
That's the thing. That's all you can hope for as a Cardinals fan. We're more exciting than last year.
Yeah, exactly.
We are progressing, and that's a low bar.
It's not a
high bar. It's a low bar.
The Cards bringing Jay Ajayi, incidentally, I read this week, for a tryout.
They did. Yeah. And I, worryingly... I'm worried for Jay now about whether he's going to get back in this year. Because they ended up signing Alfred Morris.
Right. So
if you're having a workout and then they sign Alfred Morris.
Not a good sign. Yeah, we'll save that for another day. We did and talked a bit about Jay and whether with Carlson, I think, on the Wednesday show.
The worries there in the NFL are obviously he's coming off the torn knee ligaments, but there was already when he came out of the draft, the worry about a degenerative knee condition. So I really hope he gets back in, but I'm worried for Jay. And that the signing of Alfred Morris just made me feel even more worried.
Not a great sign. Okay, so the Saints, probably the last week, we'll see Teddy Bridgewater starting.
Talking about being back, isn't he?
For this game?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Interesting.
He said in his press conference, they asked him, how will it be decided? He said, I'll tell Sean and he'll believe me. I was like, okay.
That's how it works in New Orleans.
For me, you're going to win this game if you're the Saints. I go with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
And either way, whoever's at quarterback, that defense is for real.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rush him. I wouldn't rush Kamara.
Yeah,
win this game.
Kamara out last week. So yeah, that really good point as well. 20 sacks on the year, to your point about their defense. The Saints are top six D in that respect. We expect them to bring the pain a little bit on this Cardinals line and Kyler in particular. Yeah, Saints as well. Bucks, Titans.
I'm going to go Bucks.
Bucks on the road.
Yeah, I think
off a bye week, of course.
Off a bye week, and I'd still think there is talent on offense. They have their moments on defense, and you know Jameis is a feast or famine quarterback.
Yeah.
So that means you're going to feast every now and then.
Yeah,
and I just don't believe the Titans can create enough offense, even under Ryan Tannehill, to keep pace. So I think the Bucks could have this one.
But I like Tannehill in there, and I like the Titans here as well. And I think whatever happens, it will be 19-16 or 17-14.
So our picks are going to be a blowout one way or the other.
Exactly.
We're going different on a lot.
That's how we roll. Giants at Lions.
Oh, both these teams need a win. Lions haven't won since September the 22nd. Giants since September the 29th. Matthew Stafford for me. And even though Kerryon Johnson's gone, Stafford is lighting it up every week.
Yep.
Marvin Jones, Kenny Golladay.
Do you know my heartbreaker last week? My stack pick in Daily Fantasy that I recommended to listeners was Matt Stafford.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, who they were playing, and everyone was like, really? Detroit? You sure? Matt Stafford and Kenny Golladay.
Oh, you got the wrong receiver. Well, he does share it around big time each week, so it could have been either of those guys. So I think, you know, turnovers are starting to become a bit of a worry for Daniel Jones now.
Yeah.
I think since he came in week three, he's had the most in the NFL.
Oof.
So I think Detroit at home.
I was thinking with Danny Jones, it's a little bit like going to a movie. The first half an hour is amazing, and I think this could be one of the best films of the year, and then starts to flag a little bit, and that's where they are with Danny Jones in the middle.
But you've got to stick with the movie, because there's no point going back and watching Eli.
You paid your money. The Eli show is finished.
Yeah.
So it could come good in the end. Broncos, Colts?
Colts all the way. Yeah, Broncos are a mess. Yep, they're obviously in selling mode as well, getting rid of Emmanuel Sanders. So yeah, I like the Colts.
Yeah,
I think they're Jacoby Brissett doing a really good job. I was talking to my son's a Colts fan.
Oh, good man.
And he was talking last night. He said, "Well, we are a playoff team, aren't we, Dad?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Where are our weaknesses?" And I was like, "Do you know what? It's hard to really pick.
This is it.
One area.
It's solid. You said earlier, solid on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
Zach Pascal stepping up as well. And Jacoby Brissett, I'm buying into him. I'm buying into him. I think he's legit. Is that everything? Is that every game? Oh, we haven't picked Monday night, have we?
Dolphins, the big, mighty, the big one.
Let's save the
two
best
powerhouses from the 70s.
Oh,
setting offensive football back to the 70s.
The 0-6 Miami Dolphins. ESPN are thrilled about this one.
I forgot I was in ESPN for a minute there.
Steady on. We've got to sell it.
Every game's a big one.
What, Fitz or Rosen, first of all?
Well, I think at this rate, if they go Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're going to ruin their plans to get Tua. He's going to win them two or three games. He's too competitive.
Yeah.
He's too good.
Yeah.
They have to go Rosen.
They
have to blow this properly.
Josh Rosen.
If you're purely saying you want to win football games, you go Fitz.
Do you have to have some kind of balance here because of the fire sale and because, you know, at some point you've got to be, and I'm not suggesting I don't think anyone sensible buys into the idea that they are deliberately losing games, but at the same time, you've got to,
see that 2-point conversion attempt against Washington?
I'm not buying into that. It was the right play call.
Really?
That was very shady.
I was thinking of putting this on Twitter actually and saying, I was going to ask Dolphins fans genuinely, and I'm not trying to be funny. When you watch your team, are you cheering for them to win or are you cheering for them to lose?
I reckon most would answer, careful how I phrase it, as long as you're competitive, if you lose the games, it doesn't really matter because the season's done. And that's true for any team that you have, like the Giants, you know, are almost certainly not going to make the playoffs. You want them to be competitive, but because of the draft system, not too competitive. So not getting blown out every week and making it, it's a bit like the Bills game. It was, you know, it was a fair fight.
Yep. But you were glad they lost.
Very glad they lost. Is there any way that the Dolphins get the road win here?
No. I think Pittsburgh's defense showed me against the Chargers that they can still be a very good group.
Yeah.
I think Steelers at home. But the Dolphins that don't be assured the Dolphins are getting that first overall pick. There are some historically bad teams around the NFL this year.
Yes, there
Washington,
are.
Washington, Cincinnati are really struggling.
The Jets could go that way. God.
But yeah, I think Pittsburgh take this one.
Miami get the number one overall pick and then pick a ridiculous choice at number one.
Go for like a running back or something.
Great. Well, have you got a book?
I have.
Yeah, you have got a book.
So I really like reading the Jeff Perlman books.
Yes.
So Jeff Perlman writes, he wrote one about Walter Payton.
Yep.
Kind of biography type things. He wrote one, Brett Favre's one is brilliant. And it's a great example that you don't actually have to speak to the man. So you think, well, it's this, it's all encompassing book about Brett Favre, but he doesn't speak to Brett Favre. How would that work? Mm. But Jeff Perlman is like a worker bee, and he spoke to all of Favre's family, pretty much every one of his coaches. I think he interviewed about 500 people around Brett Favre. So that one would be
love
for
it.
Me.
Yeah. Love it. Great choice. And a fine way to end your first appearance on the show.
I loved it. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah,
I have too. And I'm sure our listeners have. Just to plug your Sky stuff as well. So that is obviously Sunday, every Sunday, all the way through the season, up to and including the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So we can try and recreate our Anchorman moments of sorts when we're out in Miami.
Yes.
We can definitely get something going on
definitely.
There. Definitely. Maybe arrange some kind of... Some people would arrange a pickup game or a five-a-side game. We could arrange a dust-up.
You can work on dust that. Off on the beach.
ESPN plus the BBC versus...
I'll have Jeff Reinbold in town by
we
then.
Just draft. We can draft.
Jeff then. Goes in low and hard.
You've been yours, my number one pick. And the pods as well. So you ran
NFL. Inside the NFL. Inside the huddle inside, we do sorry, on... You said around the NFL.
We
still have the Around the NFL podcast heroes join us every week, which is great fun. I'm a big fan of theirs. I love their work. So they join us every Sunday night throughout the season. And then Inside the Huddle is Sky Sports Action every week, 9 o'clock.
Loving it. And reading all your stuff as well on NFL.com. And at Neil Reynolds
NFL.
NFL.
Yeah.
On Twitter. There you go. Good to see you, man.
That was fun. Really enjoyed it.
Come back
to see you
soon, yeah?
I will. Absolutely.
Really, really enjoyed catching up with Neil. What a great guy. And I can promise you he will be back for more. Speaking of that, our daily fantasy special drops tomorrow. If you want a little bit more pod action this week, we'll drop the videos on the ESPN UK YouTube channel as well. So get set for your week 8 daily fantasy with Paddy Power Fantasy with me and the OG Ollie Giel, dropping in your podcatcher of choice at some point over the next 24 hours. If you're going to Wembley, have a cracking time. Make sure, whether you are or not, you check us out on Monday. Nikki Bandini on the show, looking back at all of the key action this Sunday. Enjoy. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.